We all know those moments when you are just drowning in information, right? Like you need to get the key stuff fast, but there's just so much to wade through. Well, today we are zeroing in on one very specific challenge: how to craft research posters that actually make an impact at those big conferences, the kind that grabs attention and gets people talking for the right reasons.
Exactly. Think of it as a crash course in making your poster presentation the best it can be.
And to do that, we were really lucky to have some amazing insights from the Niche Medical Writing team. These guys have been behind successful posters since 1998. I mean, universities, pharmaceutical companies, you name it, they've really seen it all.
And our goal today is to pull out the core principles they've learned and give you concrete advice you can actually use, so you can walk away feeling totally confident about designing a poster that's not just pretty, but really gets your research across.
Now look, I'm sure many of us are thinking, posters, oh yeah, I did that back in college, no big deal. But let's be real. If you've walked through a poster session lately, you know there is a lot of room for improvement out there. So where do we even begin?
Well, before you even think about layout or anything, you absolutely have to check the guidelines from the conference organizers. That is step one, no question.
Right, because they're going to tell you things like how big your poster needs to be, right? Mm-hmm. The orientation, landscape versus portrait, and even like how big the font sizes should be for different sections.
Totally. And they might even specify what content they expect you to have on there, certain sections you need to include. It's all on their website usually, so that's where you start.
Absolutely. Now, they might also provide templates, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which could be a huge time saver. Make sure you're already following their format.
Yes. And if they don't, the Niche team actually has some tried and tested templates of their own. You can request those. It's like having a pro on your side right from the get-go.
Definitely worth checking out. So we got the guidelines. What else do we need to keep in mind before diving into the actual design?
Time. Don't underestimate the time you need for each step. Not just the writing, but the design, the layout, and especially printing and maybe making changes. If you rush any of that, it really shows in the final product.
Makes sense. You don't want to be scrambling at the last minute. So we've got the guidelines. We've blocked off the time. Now, what are some of the big mistakes that people make when it comes to poster design? Like, what should we be avoiding?
Well, think about it this way. Your goal is to grab attention, right? In a sea of posters, yours needs to stand out. And you need to communicate your findings clearly and quickly because people are busy.
Yeah, it's not like people have all day to stand there and read every word.
Exactly. So a big mistake is having a layout that's just too cluttered. It's overwhelming for the viewer. They can't focus on anything.
Right, it's like a wall of text, not inviting at all.
And that often goes hand in hand with another mistake, trying to cram way too much information onto the poster. Less is more, especially in this context.
Yeah, you want the highlights, not the entire dissertation.
Exactly. And another thing we see a lot, tiny, tiny font sizes, like you practically need a magnifying glass.
Ugh, yeah, I've definitely been there squinting at posters.
Yeah.
So frustrating.
It really defeats the purpose if no one can actually read your research. And one last thing I'd add, sometimes it's not even clear what the research question was in the first place. Like, what were you trying to find out?
Right. If you don't establish that right up front, people aren't going to be able to understand the significance of your findings. Okay, so we know what not to do. Let's talk about what to do, starting with the text itself. Any guidelines there?
Well, when it comes to your body text, it's generally best to left justify it.
Really?
Mm.
Is there a big difference between left justify center and right justify?
Yeah, left justified is generally easier on the eyes, especially for longer blocks of text. Makes it flow better.
Okay, interesting. What about font choice? Should we be using those fancy serif fonts or sticking to something more modern like a sans serif?
Well, for the bulk of your text, a serif font like Times New Roman can actually improve readability. Those little strokes on the letters help guide the eye.
Ah, I see. So serif for the details? But what about for things like the title and headings?
Right. You want something super clear. So a sans serif font like Helvetica or Arial is a better choice. Stands out more.
So serif for the body, sans serif for the headlines.
Got it. And I'm guessing we should stick to one font family throughout the poster, right?
Yes. Consistency is key. Maybe two fonts max if you want some variety. But too many different fonts just looks messy and unprofessional. And of course, font size is crucial.
Yeah, I mean, we just talked about how annoying tiny fonts are.
Exactly. Think about reading from about 2 meters away. That's a good rule of thumb.
All right, so what size are we talking specifically? Like for the title, the author's names, and all that. Okay, so for the title, go big, at least 85 points. That's your main attraction. Author's names around 56 points. Subheadings, you're looking at 36 to 44 points, and your body text, no smaller than 24 to 34 points.
Okay, taking notes here. What about those little captions under figures and tables?
Those should be at least 18 points. And remember, when in doubt, go bigger, especially for those main headings and that all-important research objective.
Right. Make it impossible to miss. Now let's talk visuals. The niche team really seems to be on board with using figures and images. Why is that so important?
Because a picture's worth a thousand words, right? Especially on a poster. A good visual can convey so much information so quickly, way more engaging than a big chunk of text.
Yeah, and it taps into that 10-10 rule we talked about. You've got like 10 seconds to make an impression.
Exactly. A well-designed graph or image can communicate a whole lot in those crucial first few seconds. Now, tables, you don't necessarily want to avoid them altogether. They're still good for showing precise data.
Okay, but we probably don't want those massive tables with like a million rows and columns.
No, definitely not. Keep it manageable. 5 rows by 5 columns is a good maximum to aim for. And always remember, a clear table is way better than a whole paragraph trying to describe the same numbers.
So it's about striking the right balance between text and visuals. You don't want it to be all one or the other.
Exactly. You want them to complement each other. And there are actually a few different approaches to layout symmetry. Figure 1 in the niche materials shows examples like vertical layouts, which feel formal, diagonal for something more dynamic, and even asymmetry, which can look really modern.
Interesting. So different layouts create different vibes. Makes sense. And when we are using figures, what kind works best?
Keep it simple. Two-dimensional line graphs, bar charts, pie charts, those are your go-tos. Avoid anything too complex or cluttered.
Right. No 3D charts that make everyone dizzy.
Exactly. And make sure those lines are thick enough to be seen from a distance. Same goes for any symbols, numbers, labels, all that good stuff.
Okay, let's add some color to the mix.
Yeah.
How do we use color effectively without going overboard?
Well, color can really enhance your poster, make it more visually appealing, and you can use it strategically to guide the viewer, highlight key points.
So like using color to separate different sections or call attention to a particular finding?
Exactly. But the key is not to go crazy. Especially avoid those really busy pattern backgrounds. They just make it harder to read.
Yeah, you want the focus to be on the content, not the background.
Right. And another big don't, dark text on a dark background. It's a nightmare to read. Stick to light backgrounds in general.
Good advice. What about specific colors? Any recommendations there?
Try to stick to a consistent theme. 2 or 3 colors max throughout the whole poster makes it look more professional and unified.
Right, like a brand identity for your research.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's zoom out a bit. How do we organize all of these elements into a layout that actually makes sense and guides the viewer?
So the layout is super important. And again, prioritize those visuals. They really break up the text and make it more inviting.
Right, like a visual roadmap through the research.
Exactly. And you can use the placement of your graphics and text boxes to guide the eye in a logical sequence. A common approach is to have a column-based layout flowing from top left to bottom right, like you're reading a page.
Ah, so that's why so many posters have that format.
Yeah.
Makes sense. And you mentioned earlier looking at other posters for inspiration.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Pay attention to what other researchers are doing, especially at conferences or online. See what you find visually appealing and try to figure out what makes those posters work.
It's like getting a free design lesson. And it reminds you that everything on the poster should serve a purpose.
Absolutely. Every sentence, every image, every graph, it all needs to relate back to your core findings. If it's not essential, cut it. Remember, less is more.
Okay, that 10-10 rule is really starting to sink in. You really have to be ruthless with what you include.
Right, because you have such a short time to grab attention. So go through your first draft and cut out anything that's not absolutely necessary. Let those key findings shine.
And that includes maybe not going too deep into the methodology, right? As tempting as it might be.
Yeah, methodology is important, but on a poster, you really need to focus on what's essential for understanding the big picture. Save the finer points for a full paper or a conversation.
Okay, so clarity and conciseness are our guiding principles. The niche team has some really great insights on this. What are some key takeaways?
Well, they really stress that people are more likely to remember your message if it's presented simply and clearly. Use visuals to support your text. Keep those text blocks short and sweet.
And I'm guessing good writing still matters, right? Like using the active voice, avoiding jargon.
Absolutely. Write like you're talking to a colleague, not writing a textbook. And think about how you're organizing your content.
Right. Using those standard sections like introduction, methods, results, conclusion, all that.
Exactly. And use clear headings to separate those sections so people can easily scan and find what they're looking for. White space is your friend here too. Don't be afraid to give those elements some breathing room.
So what about the overall structure? How should the poster be laid out?
A column format usually works best. 3 to 5 columns, and arrange the information vertically, flowing from top left to bottom right.
Ah, like a newspaper or a magazine. Makes it easier to follow. And they really hammer home the importance of keeping the text brief.
Yes, less is more. Aim for plain language. Keep those text blocks under 50 words if possible, and use bullet points to highlight key takeaways.
Okay, bullet points are my friend. I can do that.
And don't be shy about stating your findings directly. Make those strong statements, but of course, make sure they are backed up by your data.
Right. Be bold, but back it up. And make sure people know how to get in touch if they want to learn more.
Absolutely. Your contact info should be prominent. Email, website, maybe even a QR code that links to more info online.
Great ideas. Now let's talk about that 60-second rule. What is that all about?
So the idea is that someone should be able to get the gist of your research just by scanning the headings on your poster in about a minute.
Okay, so it's like a really quick overview of what you did.
Exactly, which means your headings need to be informative and engaging. They are like mini abstracts for each section.
So strong headings are key. And when we're looking at other people's posters, what should we be paying attention to?
Look for those key elements. What was the research question? What were the main findings? And what do those findings mean? That last part, the interpretation, is super important, and sometimes it's not stated clearly enough.
So make sure that's front and center on your own poster. Now, what are some of the common mistakes you see when reviewing posters?
Well, sometimes the structure is just all over the place, so it's hard to follow the story. And of course, too much text, tiny fonts, those are still big problems.
Right, we've got to avoid those.
Definitely. And sometimes the graphics are just not good. They're confusing, or the colors clash, things like that. It really takes away from the overall impact.
So we've designed our poster, we printed it, now it's presentation day. Any last minute tips?
Definitely. First, practice a quick summary of your work, like a 2-minute elevator pitch. Your poster is there to support you, but you still need to be able to explain it clearly.
Right. It's like a conversation starter.
Exactly. And be prepared, arrive early, dress professionally, all that good stuff.
Okay. Common sense, but easy to forget when you're nervous. What about practical things for setting up?
Bring a poster hanging kit. You never know what kind of setup they'll have. And a pen, notepad, all those essentials.
Right, you don't want to be caught without tape or something.
Exactly, and once your poster is up, make sure it's straight and secure. Have handouts ready for anyone who wants more info.
Oh yeah, handouts are a great idea.
Definitely. You can even attach an envelope to your poster to hold handouts and business cards.
Now what about technology? Should we be incorporating things like videos or interactive stuff?
It can be a nice touch if it's relevant. But if you're going to use technology, make sure you have backups in case something goes wrong.
Right. Don't rely on the Wi-Fi gods.
Exactly. But the most important thing is to be present and engage with people who come up to your poster. Answer their questions, have discussions, network. It's really the whole point of being there.
And as the Niche team points out, presenting your poster well can actually be a stepping stone to getting your work published.
It really can. It's a chance to get feedback, refine your ideas, and make connections.
So to recap, for a truly effective poster, we need to follow those guidelines, give ourselves enough time, avoid clutter and those tiny fonts, choose impactful visuals, use color wisely, and keep that layout clear and logical.
Exactly. And remember, the goal is to communicate your research clearly and concisely.
And to help you do that, the Niche team has put together a free poster template, which is just fantastic. You can find the link in the show notes. Definitely check it out.
It's a great resource, especially if you're new to poster presentations.
So, as you're planning your next conference, think about how these principles can apply not just to your poster, but to any professional communication. Whether it's a presentation or a report, the key is to make your message clear, engaging, and memorable. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
Thanks for having me. It's been great.